And let us turn in God's word to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, as we continue looking at the second book of the Kings, as we look at the transition of the prophecy from Elijah to Elisha. Hopefully I'll get the right names in the right places. I was having difficulty as I was writing the sermon. Sometimes I was saying Elijah when I was meaning Elisha, but hopefully I can get those in the right places. Excuse me a second. Let us read together God's word from 2 Kings chapter 2. I really wanted to get to this before we come to our Christmas series. So let us hear together God's word. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that God, or that the Lord, will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold on his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Then they said to him, "Look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "You shall not send anyone." But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send them." Therefore they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "Please notice the situation of this city is pleasant, as my lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren." And he said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness." So the water remains healed to this day according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Then he went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head." So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Then he went up from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to a passage of which there is much made in our culture, and not wrongly so. It is a powerful reminder of what God is doing. It is a powerful reminder of the fact that death, and Elijah didn't die, but death is going to be with our Savior. It is a powerful reminder for us as we look at Elisha of taking up the mantle. That history doesn't stop when those who are older, our elders, pass away. That we need to take and carry forward the burden of the truth of the gospel. That's not always an easy thing. As we live in this world. And we may ask the question, why was Elijah taken up by God into heaven bodily? We don't have a good answer for that. Elijah certainly lived a life which was very difficult, very hard. And he had faced some very, very difficult situations with Ahab and with Jezebel. This is in God's grace. And as we think about Elijah, we ought not think of him as sinless. Jesus is sinless. Elijah is in heaven in this manner by the undeserved grace of God. We have to have that in our mind. By the way, in case you don't remember this, there is one other person who was taken up bodily into heaven. Enoch walked with God and was no more. We read that in the early chapters of Genesis. And for God took him to himself. And so this is a very special situation in the history of the world. But as much as anything, I want to focus us on the moving forward. As we look forward, too often we look at death and we look at the loss of our loved ones, and from Elisha's perspective and these prophets' perspective, it is a great loss. But as we consider that, we also need to consider, how do we move forward? God lays that burden upon us as we walk forward as his people in this world. And we need people, men and women, to take up the places of those who have gone before, to stand firmly upon the word of God without compromise. And God provides the grace. As we look at Elisha, God provides the power to do these things. Certainly, we don't expect to be splitting the Jordan anytime soon or sending out bears. But God does give us the strength and the grace for the things he has laid out in front of us. One thing that I think about is, you know, when we study church history and we think about those who were perhaps burned at the stake for their witness to the gospel. And perhaps we ask ourselves, well, I don't think God has given me that strength to stand up that way. Well, until God faces us with those situations, he doesn't need to waste that grace upon us. He gives us the grace and the strength to stand where he places us, not for things he hasn't placed in front of us. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is God honors Elijah's steadfast service by bringing him physically to heaven. And Elisha steadfastly seeks to take up Elijah's ministry. God honors Elijah's steadfast service by bringing him physically into heaven. And Elisha steadfastly seeks to take up Elijah's ministry. In verses 1 to 10, we see Elijah ascends into heaven. In verses 11 through 18, we see that Elisha takes up Elijah's mantle as prophet. And then in verses 19 through 25, we see that Elisha lives a little differently than Elijah. He lives among society instead of on the outskirts. There's going to be differences in how people serve God. And historically throughout time, different people are going to carry the mantle of God's faith differently. But that does not mean that God is not using them in similar manners throughout history. So first of all, Elijah's ascent into heaven. Everybody knows that Elijah is going to ascend into heaven. You get the fact of it thrown right at you in the right first verse of the passage, don't you? When the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Remember who Elisha is. Elisha is the servant that God had given to Elijah to replace him when Elijah was in the cave and was in great despair after doing the powerful thing on Mount Carmel, the powerful demonstration of who God is. Elijah is in depression in the cave, and God sends Elijah with messages. Now notice, Elisha is going to deliver a couple of those messages. Elijah went to Elisha. We talked about that when we went through that passage. And so Elisha became Elijah's servant. And Elisha, as his servant, vows that he's going to stay with him. Elijah heads out of Gilgal. He tells Elisha, stay here. And Elisha says what? As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. I vow I'm going to stay with you, is what that means. And as they get to the next place, to Bethel, the sons of the prophets at Bethel know that Elijah is going to be taken that day. Say, do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? This is a hard thing. Now Elijah is going to ascend into heaven. How awesome. We don't know this at this point in the passage. Elisha does not know this. But the loss of a loved one and of a mentor is a hard thing. And so Elisha says, just don't, guys. I know this is going to happen. I hurt. The loss of a loved one, especially of a mentor, is a great, great, hard thing. But Elisha wants to be there. Elisha wants to be with Elijah at that time. And so they continue to Jericho. And again, Elijah says, stay back. And again, Elisha says, I'm going with you to the end. And again, the prophets say, your master is going to be taken from over you. And so, after Jericho, they head to the Jordan. And even at the Jordan, then, the sons of the prophets at Jericho are standing, watching from a distance. If you remember Israel, Jericho is the key, is the protective city for the land of Canaan. That's why they were not allowed to rebuild it. It had just been rebuilt. because Israel was to rely on God and not on man and not on earthly weapons and earthly defenses. And so 50 men of the sons of the prophets stood watching at a distance, facing them as they went to the Jordan. And as they get to the Jordan, Elijah took up his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided. The power of God was great with Elijah. And Elijah uses the power of God to cross the Jordan. We might say, well, isn't that a waste of God's power? God works all things. And we can rely on God's power, and we should be relying on God's power in every situation. And God's power would take Elijah across what we talk about as the proverbial Jordan as well, into heaven. And so it was when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" And Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." A double portion of your spirit. Elisha looks at Elijah, at the hard life that Elijah has lived. And Elisha says, "I want the hard life to serve God." Not asking for ease. Not asking for the easy way through life, but saying, "I want to do God's way." And as he walks through that, Elijah responds, "You have asked a hard thing." And we don't know exactly what's going on here with what Elijah says. Nevertheless, if you see me go, taken from you, it shall be. But brothers and sisters, don't ask for the easy life. Ask for the ability to serve God in the hard life, to be used of God through difficulties. To be ready to serve when it's not easy. To stand up under the load. And so Elisha is told what he needs to do. And Elisha, of course, had vowed to do this anyway. It was Elisha's very much desire to be with Elijah through the very end. And so it happened. As they continued on and talked, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. It is an awesome picture that God lays out before us. It's one I don't think we have a lot of ability to tear apart and say what's going on here exactly. But God takes Elijah in a whirlwind into heaven. He splits Elijah and Elisha by this fiery chariot and horses. I want to talk briefly about the idea. Elijah is physically in heaven. There are three human beings in heaven now, physically, that we know of. Of course, we talked about Enoch, Elijah, and Jesus is there in his body. Jesus is the promise of our blessed resurrection and eternal life in physical bodies. But there are already two others in heaven with him in physical bodies. Yes, the spirits of just men made perfect, Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that, are already there. But all of us will rise, and all of us will be physically, who are believers, will be physically in heaven eternally in perfection And Elisha cries out, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen, "My father, my father." As Elisha considers what is going on, he says, "It's the chariot of Israel. God sending his way of bringing Elijah into heaven." And by the way, at the end of Elisha's life, his servant says a similar thing. Now, it wasn't that Elisha was going to be taken physically into heaven as Elijah was. But for all Christians, death is not something that we hide from. And death, as the Catechism so rightly says, is not a punishment for sin, but it's an entering into eternal life. It's a blessed thing for a Christian to die in their faith and to enter into eternal life. And so Elisha rejoices, stands in awe, but also he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He wept. He sorrowed at the loss of his master, at the loss of his mentor as a Christian. Sorry, I get a little choked up on this because I kind of think through it as I think of the loss of my father. And I know my father, when my grandfather died, prayed for a double spirit of Grandpa Grossman's spirit, double portion. And so it's a very hard thing to lose your loved one, to lose your mentor. But what did Elisha ask for? To carry the burden, to carry the gospel. And Elisha takes that up, doesn't he? Elisha literally takes up Elijah's mantle from the ground that had fallen from him. And he went back and he stood by the bank of the Jordan. And God confirms his gift of that double portion of Elijah's spirit by holding back the river just as he had for Elijah. Elisha took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, struck the water, and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And the water was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they knew that the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. Now we don't know exactly again how that works out, but they could tell. And they bow to the ground before him. And yet, it's very interesting. Though everyone knew that Elijah was going to go that day, what do? We want to send people to find Elijah. Maybe he just was taken away. Because, of course, we know that Elijah had that done a number of times by God. That God had spirited him away. So maybe that's just another one of these times. And what did Elisha say? "You shall not send anyone. I know what happened." How much had Ahab searched for Elijah and not found him? 1 Kings 18. "As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said, 'He is not here,' and he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you." Yet they were going to find Elijah with 50 men in a couple of days. And Elisha says, "No way." And yet they urged him till he was ashamed. We have to realize that shame with regard to things like this is not something that we need to bow to. Elisha did. He said, "Okay, send him." And they went out, they searched for 3 days, 50 men, could not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed at Jericho, he said to them, "Did I not say to you, don't go?" And kind of like, "Told you so. Come on." Now, as we consider that Elisha then is going on in the double portion of Elijah's spirit, Elisha does not live exactly as Elijah did. We see that a number of times in the miracles that Elisha does. He's among God's people. And I think, honestly, in some ways, that's a witness to the fact that living among the people is more powerful than living on the outskirts. God used Elijah. God put Elijah where he was. He was supposed to go off to Zarephath, different things like that. But we also see a difference in how Elijah lived and how Elisha lived and the effects that God did through them. And so here at Jericho, remember, Jericho was a cursed city. It was cursed because God was saying to Israel, your safety, your protection is not in earthly fortifications. Jericho was the key to Israel. And God had said that the person who built Jericho, who rebuilt Jericho, was going to lose his youngest son and his oldest son in doing it, that they were going to die, and that was what happened. But also we see that the city's water supply was a problem. We read actually a little bit later, there will be no more death or barrenness. That Jericho, the water supply somehow at Jericho was so bad that it was killing people and it was causing barrenness. And so the men of the city came to Elisha. They said, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord sees, but the water is bad, the ground barren. And God, through Elisha, says, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. And he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there. And he said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. God is the one who provides the healing, even of this city which was built in rebellion against God. God can use our even rebellion. Not that we look then to live in rebellion against God, but when we look back on our lives and we see our failures and our rebellion, we need to be reminded that God uses even that. And so God cures the water. And the cure is, by the power of God, of course, permanent. It's not like it's something that, you know, I don't know if any of you have dealt with wells. Sometimes you have a well that's got problems and you actually pour bleach down it. And if you do it right, you can make that well work and be good water again. It's an amazing thing. But that's not permanent. At least in my experience as a plumber. Anyway. Now, God heals this well, not because of the salt. The salt honestly represents probably more something along the lines of God's word. That Israel was supposed to use salt in their offerings. But that's a separate thought. Notice the cure is what the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. God's word is what cures, not just some ability of man. And we need to be reminded of that with regard to dealing with medical situations. Yes, we use medicines, but we need to understand our hope, our strength is not in the medical abilities, it is in God, and God uses those abilities. So then, also, we have another situation that Elisha is mocked on his way to Bethel. As he went up from there to Bethel, as he was going on the road, some youths came out from a city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. This was a reference to him as a prophet. And so it was dishonor for him as a prophet. It was not just that Elisha needed to be respected, but the office of prophet, the office of one who speaks God's word, needed to be respected. And in Israel, it wasn't. And so Elisha then pronounces that they would, he turned to them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 youths. That's not a small group of kids, is it? And the dishonor which goes on there. How do we treat those who have authority in God's church? Not because how good that person is, but because of the office God has given to them in his church. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, those who preach the gospel. And Elisha then returns to places of note in Elijah's ministry. He goes to Mount Carmel, verse 25. Of course, we all know what happened at Mount Carmel. The confrontation with the prophets of Baal and Asherah. And then he went to Samaria, where Ahab's son was now king. Notice, as we said, Elisha has a double portion of God's Spirit, of Elijah's Spirit. But just because he has that does not mean he does the exact and lives the exact same way that Elijah did. And God uses Elisha differently, and yet Elisha has the Spirit of God, has the Spirit that guided Elijah through all the hardship in him. And certainly Elisha will see some difficult times, and hopefully the Lord willing, after Christmas, we'll return to this passage, and we'll get to see some of the things that Elisha did. By the way, I don't know if any of you know this, but if our daughters had been boys, they probably, one of them would have been named Elisha, I think. Because I love Elisha. I love the things he does. And this is, of course, by the power of God, standing in a world that hates the gospel. Elijah stood as God's people, bringing God's word into a world that was rejecting it again and again. And may we have that spirit of Elijah and Elisha, that we wouldn't hide in fear when man jumps up and down and complains about the word of God, but rather that we would speak it truly, not with man's authority, but with God's authority, and that God would use us to change the world. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, gracious, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, in thanksgiving for those who have gone before, who have stood unapologetically on your word. And we pray, Lord, that we would be those who take your word seriously, who bring that word and the wonderful gospel to a world that rejects it again and again. And we thank you, Lord, that you tell us in the Great Commission that there will be those who hear and will be baptized and become members of your church. And so, Lord, we pray, use us, send us. We pray, Lord, for that double portion of that spirit of Elijah and Elisha to walk through the hard times, to live based on your word when it isn't easy. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless us not because we are worthy, but that you would bless us, that you would be glorified in us as we live as your children in this world. We thank you that you often do not ask us to live the way Elijah and Elisha lived entirely. We thank you for your provision for us daily upon this earth. And yet, Lord, we pray that as we live here on this earth, you would be glorified and honored through us, that we would not fear man, that we would have a righteous fear and honor for you and glorify you, our great God and King. We praise you for our Savior who came into this world and was not afraid of man, who was under authority but at that same time came here as God, that he dwelt among us and that he gave himself for us, that he lived perfectly on our behalf. And we pray, Lord, help us to live in thanksgiving to him, to you. For we pray this in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.